Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. You are salt and light. That is what Jesus tells us this morning. You are salt and you are light. Not usually a greeting we are familiar with. Good morning, Cindy. You are salt. Good morning, Carolyn. You are light. If we did that, we might think one another just a little bit touched, a bit off. And yet this morning in the gospel lesson, Jesus is pretty clear about how he sees you. You are the salt of the earth. Now, it's important to understand, unfortunately, English is a little bit limited in how it refers to the third person. Our word for the third person singular and for the third person plural are the same word. Not so in other languages. So when Jesus says, you are the salt, you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is actually saying, y'all are the salt of the earth. You all are the salt of the earth. You all are light. But if salt has lost its taste, how could its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything. The curious thing about salt and light, both, is that they are both additive and not subtractive. It's an important but probably often overlooked reality. So one of the things you learn when you start to get high blood pressure is you can no longer use salt, which is an abomination before the Lord, apparently. And pretty soon you realize how good salt is. One day, Jeannie came home from Costco with 4 pounds of unsalted butter. I did not think this was going to be a big deal. I baked my bread. I put the butter on it. I took a taste. I put the bread down. Salt adds something. And the thing about salt, when you put salt, this is another thing you find out. I'm a cook. Once you put the salt in, you can't get it back out. Now, so if something doesn't have enough salt, you can always add more, right? You can put more in, but it's really hard to get out. Salt is additive. So is light. One of the things we found when we first started to broadcast was we had our normal lighting settings and they weren't enough, right? We could see just fine. But unfortunately, no one else could. And so we had to add more light and different kinds of light to make it all work. And I think that's the core of Jesus' message this morning. You are salt and you are light. It's additive in a world that is so busily trying to subtract it out of you. In 1930... Mahatma Gandhi led a march in India. The British overlords, as they like to refer to them, had placed a tax on salt. Now, there had been a tax on salt in place in India for about, 3,000 years. But it was a huge tax. And the purpose of the tax was to make it so that people, if you made your own salt, which, by the way, is not that hard in many places in India, if you made your own salt, you were taxed so egregiously that it made it impractical to do so. Why? Why tax it? Well, the British Trading Company, the great British Trading Company that you all know about, was importing salt. And if you can make your own, why would you buy it? Well, that thought occurred to them, and so they taxed the salt so people would quit making their own salt. So So Mahatma Gandhi led the Salt Satyagraha for a number of reasons. First of all, people should be able to make their own salt. It was unjust. It just simply was not right. It flew in the face of justice and righteousness. And so he began this 239-kilometer walk. Nonviolent. Satyagraha. And they walked. And at the end of it, he made salt. It was a moment of light, of non-violent protest. Now, the Salt Satyagraha was an amazing thing in itself, and it did eventually lead to change. It took a long time, but it began something. It began something that no one expected, I think. A young Martin Luther King Jr. saw what had happened in India, and it inspired him again and again about the value and effectiveness of nonviolent protest. The light that the Mahatma brought was added to Martin Luther King Jr. And that light was added to again. And again, and again. And soon light from around the world began to shine on the injustices that had continued unabated, but not unnoticed. Ordinary people walked with the Mahatma and with Martin Luther King Jr., and with it, all that followed him. Light upon light upon light upon light. And the Me Too movement. And the March for Justice. And in the March for Peace. You are salt and light, Jesus says. The problem is, sometimes we forget that our light is not the only light. We think we're all that, and it turns out maybe we aren't. Maybe sometimes our light is losing its luster or our salt is losing its taste. And I think that's why it's so important that we listen to this text so closely and that it's paired with the Isaiah text that says, why do we fast, but you do not see? We humble ourselves, but you do not notice. These are the people calling to God. Why do we do all of these things? And God says finally in the end, because it's not the fast that I choose. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see those who are naked, to cover them and not hide yourself from your own kin? I'm sure all of you have had interactions with people. You know, as a pastor, I certainly feel it all the time. Barry, you feel it all the time. People who don't like the music that you choose or the way that you play or the way that I preach or the way that I do the business of the church. And always, always, always I'm saying, well, let your light so shine. Sometimes we're so filled with ourselves that we forget to allow the light of our neighbor to shine. And even more importantly, to join their light with ours. It's the core of the Christian community that lights of every kind, of every hue, of every orientation, of every preference can come together to bring the light of God. That's what we're up to here. We're here in this place and in this time for all of its difficulties and painfulness, for all of the kind of craziness that's happening in the world and the discouragement and the number of times that people keep trying to put out our light. I'm always reminded of A Christmas Carol. When the first light comes, the first ghost comes, and Ebenezer Scrooge looks at it and he says, "Your light is too bright." And then he wants to crush it. But we are light and salt. That is the gift that God has given us, y'all. Not just you, but y'all. And together in the Spirit of God, man, does that light shine. And though one may be dim or even broken, sometimes our bulbs are just burned out. And our neighbor holds a light for us. And Jesus carries us through. And our light comes back and joins with the other lights of the world to bring righteousness and justice. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. Do not put your light under a bushel, but hold it up high and join your light with the lights across the world, with the saltiness that God has given us as a gift, that we might bring love and joy and forgiveness and hope and peace and justice to a world who thirsts to taste something new and see something wonderful. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with our hymn of the day. It's number 677 in the ELW.